Wall Jammin', saying stay tuned now for the Radio Playhouse.
This is the National Science Network. This is KMPX San Francisco.
Love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers. How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Rolon. Tests have shown that Ban Rolon helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays, and Ban Rolon costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays, averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day. The longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Rolon will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Rolon, why settle for less?
This is your roving reporter about to interview a nose.
How do I look?
You're not on TV, Nose. This is for radio.
But how do I sound?
Pretty stuffy. Why don't you use four-way nasal spray?
Is four-way the leading brand?
Not yet, Nose.
Then why should I use it?
Because you can't buy faster decongestant relief than four-way nasal spray. And four-way can cost a lot less than the leading brand. A lot less. Here, just follow the directions.
Hey, that's a blast. You can interview me now.
Thanks, Nose, but I just did.
Oh, David, dear, how nice of you.
You phoned, Isabel. I came.
Oh, you dear boy, left that busy newspaper and everything just for me.
I can't think of a better reason.
Come in and don't try to flatter a woman old enough
to be my best girl.
I wish you'd get yourself a best girl, David.
Oh, I have.
Oh, if only I knew when you were kidding. My, isn't the air soft this morning? Makes me think of spring.
Is that why you got me on the phone?
Sometimes, David, I suspect that nobody in Bellhaven knows the real you.
Not even me. Well, who pushed the panic button for you this morning, Isabel?
It's about Kate.
Oh?
Tony Cushing called me this morning.
Oh.
Now, don't get your back up. He's no friend to Kate until he divorces that woman. Here, let's go into the study, hmm?
Well, what did you want to see me about?
David, Tony got back from Paris and called Kate's office and found she'd gone to Jamaica.
Sure.
Well, you know it and I know it, but she told us she was going down on business for the office.
Yeah, some property or other down there.
Yeah. Well, apparently she didn't go down for her office. The property is off the market. Her boss told her the trip was off, and she went anyhow on a leave.
Well, people take vacations, Isabel.
Jamaica was where she and Tom did most of their sailing. It finally turned into a perfect hell for her. Why would she go back there?
I don't know.
And you don't want to discuss it, huh?
I'll be glad to listen.
I'm no fool, David. Though Lord knows I've held my tongue. When I came to live in Bellhaven, I found out what the Wakefield name had become.
It's a pretty good name here, Isabel.
It was. Until young Tom dragged it into the dirt. Look, I've never talked to anybody about this, David. It was easier to come back and pretend I didn't know. It was easier on Kate.
I think it was.
But I know everything that Tom Wakefield did. He was a beautiful young man. Then it was drugs. Then it was drug traffic.
You knew that, Isabel?
Of course I knew it. We Wakefields have a long history of keeping what's ugly to ourselves.
I'll be damned.
Oh, is it so surprising?
Well, no, it isn't. It's a relief. I apologize. I underestimated you.
Oh, I knew what Tom had done to our name. And though he's been dead 3 years, he's not finished with us yet.
I think you're wrong there. Bellhaven's forgetting.
Oh, they would, if Kate would let them.
Kate?
David, you tell me why Kate's gone down to Jamaica. Or shall I tell you?
Your turn, Isabel.
Well, I think she can't forget Tom. I think she wants to know everything Tom got into down there.
Maybe she has to.
Of course she has to. Kate doesn't do things without a reason. I've watched her emerge from her shell here in Bellhaven, get out into the world, get a job. I thought she was beginning to make a life for herself, and now this.
I think she's got guts.
David, I shouldn't say this to you, but I have to talk to someone who'd understand. Do you think in some deep way Kate's still in love with Tom?
I'm out of my depth there, Isabel.
Oh, no, you're not. Mm-mm. You just make a habit of hiding your own feelings. You don't like the word love.
Let's let it go at that.
Maybe when Tom disappeared, when he drowned off that sailboat up in Maine, he... Well, for Kate, he took all the ugliness with him.
I hope she thinks so.
Sometimes I think if they had found Tom's body, his death would be more real to her.
Don't make that mistake, Isabel. It's real to Kate.
Well, then why does she want to dig back into Tom's dreadful past? You know, this frightens me.
Because she's got to get it out of her system.
And I'm interfering.
Not yet. But you could. I've got to be going.
Oh, I feel so helpless. Sitting here waiting for the whole Wakefield scandal to break out again.
You know, I don't think that the scandal, as you call it, matters.
You don't think Tom's drug addiction, his traffic in drugs, if that's what he did, that it doesn't matter?
The only thing that matters now, Isabel, is Kate. And Kate is not going to love anyone or marry anyone or even live her own life until Tom is out of it forever.
And you really believe that?
I know it, Isabel. I've always known.
If you take Tylenol instead of aspirin for headache, now you can get the exact same relief with Daytrill and get a dollar refund besides. Buy Daytrill in a 100 or 250 tablet size, and Bristol-Myers will refund you $1. Send name, address, and Daytrill carton to Daytrill, Box 836, Farmingdale, New York, 11735, and get a dollar back. Offer good on one bottle only. Expires April 30th, 1976. So try Daytrill now and get a dollar back.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oceder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. Oceder makes your life easier.
Where have you been?
Oh, up the hill, the other side of the bamboo grove.
And you got soaked in the shower.
Yeah, I remember this happening when I was down here in Jamaica with my husband. You dry up pretty quick.
Mr. Pomeroy was asking where you'd gone, and Miss Ellen wants to see you.
Oh, well, I'll go up and see Miss Ellen right away. Why does everybody here worry about me?
They don't have many guests here at Glory Point.
Oh, but it's so beautiful with all the flowers and palm trees. And the house is so big.
It's a long time since anybody's been welcome in it.
Do you think I'm welcome in it, Hannah?
Don't ask me that.
But I will, Hannah. Every time I've asked you anything about Glory Point, you've tried not to answer. Am I welcome here?
You're like a breath of new life to Miss Ellen.
Thank you, Hannah. But I wasn't just now to your daughter.
Where did you see Francesca?
We waited under the trees together for the rain to stop. She knew my husband. Did you know that?
Francesca's a good girl, but she talks oddly sometimes. She's given to being sort of poetic. You mustn't believe all she says.
Did she know my husband?
I remember now. He came here once or twice. She might have seen him.
Hannah, I'd like to see her again.
It's not in my hands, Mrs. Wakefield. Miss Ellen's waiting for you.
Who is it?
It's Kate, Mr. Pomeroy.
When are you going to call me, Louise?
Miss Ellen's waiting for me.
Where'd you get that idea? My aunt is retired.
I was about to go for a walk down to Glory Point. Why don't you come with me?
Not right now, thank you. Miss Ellen might want me.
Come with me.
No.
Well, very well, if you don't want to be escorted.
I don't care to be pulled.
It's the mark of courtesy. I don't touch women unless they wish it.
I'm glad to know that.
You puzzle me, my dear. Married, widowed, young, full of promise. You talk like a schoolgirl.
Lewis, I think I'll go up to my room.
My room, Kate. You are a guest in my house and staying only as long as I wish it.
I'm aware of that.
And if it weren't for my Aunt Ellen, you'd be gone now. However, you persist in staying, so I hold out the olive branch of friendship. I suggest you walk down to Glory Point with me. There's something I want to show you.
What?
The setting sun. Didn't your late husband ever tell you about the sunset at Glory Point?
No.
Would you like to see it?
Well, yes, I think I would.
Nervous with me, Kate. I take a drop of rum now and then out of loneliness. A little pleasant company can change that.
I'm sure you can find it.
I think I have. Yes, the sunset. There's a certain moment when the setting sun strikes these rocks and they seem to burst into flame. Well, that's where the name Glory Point came from. My aunt used to walk out here every afternoon until she fell.
Miss Ellen fell on these rocks?
She was careless. Like this.
Oh, yes.
I wouldn't let you fall, my
dear. Let go of me.
A little joke. Now, I will show you what interested your late husband. Did he ever speak of looking east from Glory Point?
Yes, he did.
I thought so. You see those smooth boulders that come down to the cove there?
Yes.
There's an opening above them?
Yes, I see it.
That's Lost River.
I don't see any river.
That's what makes it unusual. Would you like to explore it?
Yes, I think I would.
It'll be my pleasure. Tomorrow.
To you by the Ocedar Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
This is Bobby Riggs, the Happy Hustler, saying, stay tuned to KMTX Radio in San Francisco, the only full-time swinger in town, except me, Bobby Riggs, of course.
The Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Say, did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Van Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray for application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays will give you 37 days of protection. On the average, Van Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Van Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Van Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective.
Gentlemen, good. good day to you and welcome yet again to Vanity Fair. I am, as doubtless you know, its author, William Makepeace Thackeray, and I mean to enjoy this day's writing. I have exactly in mind where our story will go, and, oh, dear me, I had best make no promises. You and I know how frequently my wayward characters get out of hand. Rascals the lot, wanting their own way, and more often than not, having it. This chapter I shall strive to keep a firm pen. Now, let me see. Ah, yes, yes. This early morning, the weather fine, Becky and Giles are bound back to London. Giles just now fetched from Mudbury, where she visited her relative.
Oh, Miss Becky, it was a lovely visit.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Oh, yours as well?
Oh, let us talk of yours.
Oh, yours weren't lovely?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I enjoyed every moment after Sir Pitt dismounted from his high horse. At first, the little cockatoo tried to pretend he wasn't pleased to see me, and I threatened to leave, and then, oh, my, I thought the poor old baronet would weep.
Lonely there in that great house, I do think.
Yes, it's not good for his voracious drinking habit. Oh, well, now, enough of Sir Pitt. Tell me of your visit.
My ma and cousins and aunts and uncles and babies and neighbours and shopkeepers and dear knows who all sat round about me with mouths hung open whilst I told of London.
With but a few exaggerations and white laughs.
Oh, no, miss, there weren't no need. No, they've never been up to London, not one. And all I said, every word true, was like a fairy story to their ears.
Giles, when Captain Rawdon and I have a great house, and mind you, we will have, all your kith and kin shall come to pay us a visit.
Ah, well, just kind of you to say, but you've not counted them.
Nor will I.
Oh, counting reminds me. How much money did Sir Pitt give to you?
None.
None?
None.
Didn't he mean no more, sir? Didn't I tell you he'd not open his purse for even the likes of you? You that he loves with all his pinch penny heart. Ah, 'tis why you'll not talk of your visit. You vowed your poor £5 would be maybe 50 once you'd finished with him.
I didn't finish with him, but I never began.
Never be...
What? I couldn't. I could not. Yes, I did mean to wheedle and coax and slap her, beg if necessary, weep if necessary, but something stopped me.
Why? What ever come over you?
I don't know. Pride? No, I've none. What have I to be prideful about?
Ah, with respect, Miss Becky, that ain't so.
Giles, I do know why I couldn't be all honey-tongued, because of Rawdon. Sir Pitt despises his own son. I would not let him know all isn't well with us. It's what he wanted to hear. He wanted me to cry, to say I wished I'd married him and his title and his fortune. Then he'd have given me money, but I couldn't. Giles, I've not even my £5 anymore. I lost it at backgammon.
Oh, 'twas your very loss.
I don't care. I don't think. Oh, my reticule. That's what I'm...
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Oh, what a ninny I am to cry. But it's not for me. It's for all.
Miss Becky!
I know how my darling longs to give me a title and a fortune and all the world and now he's gone.
Nothing alive, will you look? Your reticule all stuffed with money.
What? Giles. Pounds. And pounds. And pounds.
A piss. Oh, a note, miss. From him, I reckon.
Oh, let me see. Let me see. Well, I can't believe that he would do such a thing. Oh, Giles, listen to what he writes. Here be a wedding gift for me dear daughter-in-law.
Ah, oh, God bless him.
And ill-spelled. Wedding, W-E-B-I-N-G. Daughter, D-O-T-T-E-R. Now I truly will cry.
Ah, let us raise a glass to Sir Pitt. I once wrote he'd put his grandmother to the plough to save a farthing. My, it cost that old miser more than money to do what he did. Ladies, gentlemen, a confession. I did not know he had done it. Now, what are the inhabitants of Park Lane? When I return, we shall go there.
Thank you. Mrs. Bute just has gone to learn the worst of Becky Shah. And timid Miss Briggs, bless me so, brave as a badger, is about to defy Mrs. Bute's orders regarding ailing Miss Crawley. She, Briggs, stands outside the sick chamber with the Reverend Bute.
Reverend Bute, with all due respect, you cannot go into a lady's bedchamber until she is decently ready.
But Mrs. Bute said with great firmness I am to be with my sister all of the day.
It is indelicate of me to say it, sir. But there are times... Oh, need I go on?
No. Pray do not.
I shall enter, aid Matilda in certain matters, minister her first medicine of the day, and then you may come.
Yes, as you will.
Step back, sir, if you please. Matilda would not like you to see her in disarray.
Oh, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Ecclesiastes 1.
I am asleep, Mrs. Bute. Go away.
It's Arabella, Matilda.
Who?
Arabella?
Oh, Brick. Is it Brick?
Yes, dear.
Oh, how did you manage? Martha Bute, I cannot see. What will she do? Oh, have your head. Yes, that's what I want to say. Your head. She will have it. Oh, run, Arabella, run.
Matilda, hearken to me. She has gone for the day.
Oh, no, never. Over and over she vows she will not leave my side.
She has left it nonetheless, and I have come about your medicine.
Broughton. You are not to have any. Broughton and Becky are gone as well. Did you say no medicine? Mm-hmm. But I am very ill. I hardly can see straight. Hardly remember anything.
Because you are given too much medicine, most especially laudanum. Just now, you are clearer than usual, for you have slept and had no laudanum for some hours.
The apothecary says,
and he says what Mrs. Bute tells him to say.
Are you suggesting
are you?
Oh, she's back. She's here. You promised she'd be gone the day.
Miss Briggs, you are too long.
Broughton!
No, I'm sorry. It's the Reverend Bute. Bute!
Ah, dear sister, you called my name.
Why are you here?
Miss Briggs, you are excused.
But
you are excused.
Yes, sir.
Now, Matilda, I know what is best.
I'm dying. You've come to perform the last rite.
Oh, no. You are greatly better. Greatly. I'm here only to sit with you and speak of important matters.
Oh, you sermonize, and I cannot endure it.
Great truth, Matilda, and mighty above all things.
Ah, there, you're at it. It's heart-bearing.
Then I shall talk only of our nephew, Miss Shaw.
Oh, I do hope you'll say kind words. Mrs. Bute says such terrible things.
I will speak only the truth, dear sister. He that toucheth pitch shall be defiled therewith. Broughton has touched pitch. He has married Miss Shaw.
I confess it, dear listeners. I did plan it up. I did. Regretfully, yes. But the Reverend Bute speaks what he believes, as any good clergyman should. Aha, yes, well, tomorrow is worth waiting for. Come, do. Your servant, indeed your servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
The Young Delivery Service on the sixth floor of iMagnum in San Francisco brings you fun fashion for work and play. All new looks that appeal to your individual lifestyle. It's current fashion at a price. Reggio presents jumpsuits and rompers to feel free in, and dress for daytime work and evening. Available in prints, naturals, and solids, and priced at just $40 to $50. Also at the sixth floor of iMagnum, the Young Delivery Service is featuring great poplin outerwear jackets from UTEC. Now, these versatile jackets are available with zip and button fronts, several styles to choose from, some with hoods, epaulets, and shirts. Priced from just $30 to $38. And these jackets are available in several colors, including neutrals, as well as spring bright, red, yellow, melon, and blue. Sizes 5 to 13. You know, these are just two of the fine trendsetters and designs you'll find when you visit the Young Delivery Service on the sixth floor of iMagnum, Union Square in San Francisco.
That's the Young Delivery Service on the sixth floor of iMagnon on Union Square in San Francisco. Also Oakland, Palo Alto, San Mateo, Walnut Creek, Santa Clara, and Carmel. iMagnon.
This is Margaret Whiting reminding you that KMPX San Francisco plays the big bands at 107 on your FM dial.
KMPX time is now 9:28. Through Wednesday, slight chance of some showers tomorrow. Highs today in the 50s to low 60s with variable winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of rain about 20% Wednesday. Highs today for San Francisco, 59 degrees, low tonight, 47. Temperatures today from the 50s to low 60s around the San Francisco Bay Area with partly cloudy skies. And now back to the Radio Playhouse on KMPX 107 on your San Francisco dial.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life. Brought to you by Final Net Non-Aerosol Hair Mist, a sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray. If you take Tylenol instead of aspirin for headache, now you can get the exact same relief with Daytril and get a dollar refund besides. Buy Daytril in the 100 or 250 tablet size, and Bristol-Myers will refund you $1. Send name, address, and Daytril carton to Daytril, Box 836, Farmingdale, New York, 11735, and get a dollar back. Offer good on one bottle only. Expires April 30th, 1976. So try Daytril now and get a dollar back.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Peg! Yoo-hoo! Peg, you home?
Yes, come on in, Evie. I'm setting the table.
Oh, you're having guests tonight?
Well, in a way, there's some coffee hot in the kitchen if you want some.
Oh, no, I won't stay. I can see you're bustling around. I just see in the way. Who's coming?
Well, Bob and I have had sort of a shock.
Listen, do you think I should build a fire in the fireplace? Oh,
yes,
hi, Evie.
No, it's nice and cozy. But don't light it yet, since we don't know exactly when they'll get here.
All right, I'll go bring the wood in.
How come Bob's home? Does he have the day off?
Oh, he's taking the day off.
Well, what's happening? Who's coming?
Well,
is that up fresh in Tom's room, or are you going to put them in the guest room? Hi, Evie.
I think the guest room there. It's nicer. And put fresh towels in the guest bathroom, too. And put in the good towels, Debbie.
Okay, Mother. Good heavens, who is coming? Bob home from work, Debbie home from school. Are you racing around?
Tom. He phoned from London last night. Flying home, be here today.
That's wonderful. No wonder you're all in such a dither. Well, Tom hasn't been home for what, 4 or 5 months?
He's married.
Married? You're kidding.
I wish I were.
Well, who's he married?
We know nothing about her, nothing. He just told Debbie to break the news to us gently that he was bringing home a wife.
But he's only 19, isn't he?
Right.
Oh, well, they get married early these days. But I thought he was traveling and seeing the world.
I know, that's right.
Has Tom got a job?
Davy, we know nothing. Nothing.
Well,
nothing at
I
all.
I guess you're putting on the best face you can since I see you're using your good silver and your good dishes.
Well, it seems the best thing to do until we know more about
it. Look out. I'm coming through with an armload of water.
Look out.
Is there anything I can do to help?
No, thanks anyway, Davy. I took pork chops out of the freezer. Tom's favorite is breaded pork chops, you know. He just loves them.
Pork?
Yeah, Tom's favorite breaded pork chops. Why?
Well, if you don't know anything about the girls, some of those countries in the Middle East, especially the Arabs, they don't eat pork, do they? Well, I'm just mentioning it.
Well, we don't know where the girl is from. We know nothing about her. She comes from India, and Tom's been there, too. They don't eat beef there, do they? I mean, aren't cows sacred?
Well, maybe you should just have a vegetable dinner till you find out.
No, I'm not having a vegetable dinner. I'm having breaded pork chops for Tom. Now, if his girlfriend can't eat certain things...
His wife...
All right, if his wife can't eat certain things, then they'll just have to tell me when they get here. Tomorrow I can go shopping and buy what she can eat. Now, how's the table look?
Oh, it's fine. Except you've got the forks and the knives should be, and vice versa.
Yeah. I'm nervous. I can't even sing.
Oh, stop worrying. I'm going home and tell Fred. Now, call me if you want me to help with anything.
All right, thanks, Evie. I will.
I got the fire all ready, right? Huh. How are you holding up, honey?
I don't know. I'm so nervous and worried. Tom's so young. How is he going to support a wife? You were right all along. He should have taken that four-year scholarship and gone to college.
Look, it's
and
too late now.
I was always on Tom's side. See the world, I said. I agree with you. Have some adventure. I said he'd be a world-famous archaeologist or something.
No, don't cry. You don't want your eyes all red and puffy.
No, he's married apparently some girl in an entirely different culture. Whatever it is. And she'll have to adjust, which is never easy. We'll have to adjust to her.
He's here!
How do I look? How's my hair?
Hey, you look fine. Forget your hair. Come on.
There isn't anybody with him.
What?
Why?
Well, he just got out alone.
Come on, get the door open. Why would he be alone?
Hey!
Mario! Wonderful to see you.
Hiya, Mom.
Is that all you have to, Big Devil Bag?
That's all. You know me.
But where's...
Where's your bride?
Do we have to go into it now?
Well, yes. We've all been in a tizzy since you phoned yesterday.
Okay, well, we're getting a divorce.
A divorce? You just got married.
In 3 weeks.
Three weeks?
Look, it's a long story.
Well, it can't be a very long story if we've only been married 3 weeks.
Well, long or short, I want to hear it.
Oh, just light the fireplace, Bob. It's a long story. Let's at least sit down.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Finalnet sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Finalnet is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Finalnet go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Finalnet. The first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
I know we share everything, hon, but next time, could you keep your cold to yourself?
This was your cold day. You sneezed first.
You were sniffling before that. Think of the money we spend on nasal sprays.
That's why I bought four-way nasal spray today. It can cost a lot less than the leading brand, a lot less.
Yeah?
And you can't buy faster decongestant relief than four-way. Here, just follow the directions.
Hey, that's a blast.
I know. I bought four-way for me, too. And think how much we can save on four-way with all the colds you get.
You mean all the colds you give me?
Please, sit down, please. You're bustling about.
Well,
I just remembered
I had some blueberry muffins, and I thought Tom would like some with his coffee.
Oh, boy, would I. Long time since I had blueberry muffins.
Oh, it's strange food you've been eating in strange countries. Did you take your vitamins every day and change socks and your feet got wet, honey?
Yes. Oh, wow. Ooh, I love blueberry muffins.
Wow. We want to hear about this quick marriage and quick divorce business. Here we were, all set to welcome your bride.
Yes, dear, we know nothing about her, Tom, nothing. What her name is, where she's from, what she's like.
I know. I'm sorry about that.
Now, the first thing I want to know is, where is she?
She went home.
Well, where is home?
What? You let her go? Wouldn't it have been better to bring her with you?
Why, yes, Tom, we should have met her. I mean, if you quarreled, maybe her father and I could have helped.
No, we haven't had a fight. It's just that she decided she didn't want to live in America.
But, darling... Darling is a new bride. She was nervous. Coming to a new country where she'd have to adjust to new customs and food
Mother.
Like that.
Your mother's right.
Yes.
The girl needed comfort understanding. Does she speak English? She's American. That's what I was trying to tell Mother.
America? She's American.
From here? Yeah. She's from Middlefield. I went to high school with her, but we never really knew each other then. Ellie Puffenberger.
Oh, I know a Jerry Puffenberger. He's gorgeous.
That's her brother.
Well, I'm just confused. I hardly know what to say. I mean,
well, we met in Tibet. She's an anthropology major, and she was doing research.
You met in Tibet?
Yes. We thought we'd write a song about that. Who'd ever met that we met in Tibet?
Tom, where is she now? This Ellie.
Well, she went home. We got into New York this morning and took the bus up. Her folks met her, and she went on with them to Middlefield. I took a taxi on home here. She said she wanted to think about everything.
Yeah, well, it seems to me you should have both done a little more thinking before you got married so hastily.
Well, Bob, it's done. It's done. Now, why doesn't Ellie want to live here in America?
She doesn't like all the violence over here.
Over here? There's no violence over in Asia or in the Middle East?
Yes, but it's a different kind, and Ellie likes the customs and the food and the adventure.
Well, liking adventure is what sent you over there.
I know, but... I'll tell you something. You have to see all those places to appreciate America. That's a fact. I'm not trying to be patriotic. I just got homesick.
Did you really, dear?
Yeah, I missed you.
Well, did you, honey?
Yeah. I missed you telling me to take my feet off the coffee table, which you were just going to do.
Well, leave them on. It's your homecoming present.
Listen, now, aren't we going to meet this Ellie?
Oh, sure. I thought I'd give her a couple of days to do some thinking. Mom, you're going to like her.
Yes, well, I'm sure I will.
Right now, I'd like a good hot bath. Just sit in it and soak.
A bath? Oh, boy, you sure have changed. I can remember when I wanted to throw you in one and scrub off the dirt.
Oh, Tom.
Come on upstairs, Tom. I'll run the tub and get your towels out.
Okay. Hey, how are you doing in school, Debbiekins?
I don't know.
Well,
you haven't said a word about having a job or getting a job or where they'd live if they do go back together.
I know. I'll get it. I have to check on dinner anyway. Well, now, don't worry. First things first. Let's meet her and see, if we like her and if they,
If they should plan to live with us for a bit, we'd better like her.
Yeah. Hello?
Mrs. Baxter?
Yes?
This is Ellie. I'm sorry to be abrupt, but my folks are waiting in the car. We're going out to dinner. I just wanted to tell Tom.
I'll get him, Ellie. He's just gone up to take a bath.
Good. Tell him to wash his hair, too. But what I called about, his vitamin pills are in a red zipper bag and a large duffel bag. And I know he didn't take them this morning. Will you tell him?
Yes, of course. A red zipper bag. Yes, I'll remind him.
Good. I'm anxious to meet you, and I'll call tomorrow.
Oh.
All right? I'm sorry, but my dad is honking the horn.
I understand. You run along, Ellie. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Goodbye.
Yes, well, goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, Bob, darling, we are going to love her.
Well, how do you know? You just talked to her for 10 seconds.
I don't know. Maybe with her voice or something. It's funny. I feel I should know why I liked her immediately. I just can't put my finger on it. You know how you do some things with people?
Yeah.
I just know we're going to love her.
She must have said something. Why did she call?
Just to remind Tom to take his vitamins.
Uh-huh.
I'll go right upstairs and remind him. In the red zipper bag, he said, in his large duffel bag.
Oh, boy, it is true. They marry someone just like Mommy.
Created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant relief possible. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
Hi. Hi, this is Helen Forrest reminding you, you are listening to KMPX in San Francisco.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers. If you take Tylenol instead of aspirin for headache, now you can get the exact same relief with Daytrill and get a dollar refund besides. Buy Daytrill in the 100 or 250 tablet size, and Bristol-Myers will refund you $1. Send name, address, and Daytrill carton to Daytrill, Box 836, Farmingdale, New York, 11735. And get a dollar back. Offer good on one bottle only. Expires April 30th, 1976. So try Daytrill now and get a dollar back.
Hi, I'm Sandy Wright. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clairol commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clairol cream formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clairol cream formula. It's the hair color professionals use. The best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
And at 8 a.m., Chicago is shivering at 18 degrees. Next news and weather at 9.
Jason?
Yeah, hi, hon.
Is that the mail?
Yes, it is. Hi.
Good morning.
You know, I don't believe it. The mail came early.
Well, it happens every now and then. Oh, anything from Bobby?
No. How many surprises do you expect in one day?
Well, maybe we ought to call him.
Well, darling, Easter vacation will be here soon, followed by screams of college students and a high incidence of dirty laundry.
Is that what you think of our son?
Well, of course, it's traditional in my family. Oh, brother, now I know why they call it junk mail.
How about another piece of toast?
Is there any apple jelly left?
Nope. Susie and Jennifer got to it first.
Oh, no.
How about marmalade?
Oh, that's right. The kids don't like that.
You're not crazy about it yourself.
Well, then why do you get it?
It lasts.
Yeah, that's a very unique quality in this house.
Orange juice?
Just some coffee, please, darling.
All right. Jason? Have you thought any more about what we talked about last night?
You mean about your seeing someone about this therapy?
Death therapy, Jason.
Honey, before we get into something like that, don't you think we ought to at least consider telling the children? At least Bobby and Susie?
It might help us tell them.
Well, shouldn't we think about where it fits in?
Jason, that's what I mean.
All right, sure. All right.
Are you against my even looking into the whole idea of death therapy?
Well, I'm not sure it applies to you. And, darling, you've got time. Months, probably, maybe years. It's not as if you were bedridden.
Not yet.
And if that time comes, then...
Jason, shouldn't we stop saying if... and say when?
Oh, let's eat fish. Let's send these abstracts back to the library and... Whew, Jason keeps his desk a mess.
Are you sure Dr. Carter's finished with them, Angela?
Well, he should be. They're the material he was studying on immersion treatment when Jennifer had her accident.
How is she now?
Oh, fine. Complete recovery. That's an 8-year-old for you.
Oh, hello, Angela. Trish.
Hello, Doctor.
Jason's not in yet?
Do you think we'd be getting away with this if he were Dr. Foster?
If he didn't clear his desk off once in a while, he'd have to move into a new office.
Angela, could I see you for a minute?
Sure, of course.
Well, I'll just take this load down the library and get myself a cup of coffee. I deserve a break today.
Thank you.
I see you for a minute.
Sure, of course.
Well, I'll just take this load down the library and get myself a cup of coffee. I deserve a break today.
Thank you, Trish.
So long, Trish. And how about me?
What about you?
Don't I deserve a break today?
Sure.
I'll buy you a hamburger anytime.
No, that's not quite what I...
I know. But this is a hospital doctor.
I'll see you this afternoon.
Of course. I have to call Emily. I said I'd drive her to the library if she wanted to go.
Well, why don't you do that, and I'll wait for you at your place.
Fine. Oh, well, here, let me give you my key, and you can let yourself in.
Oh, good. Shall I have a copy made?
Yeah. Why don't you? Oh, I can never get them off these keychains.
Oh, here.
Here. You only need this one for the lobby in the apartment.
Are you sure you want me to have it?
Well, of course I am. Here.
Oh, good morning, you two.
Good morning, Jason.
Hello, Jace.
Hey, what happened to my desk?
Well, it suddenly appeared when we took that huge pile of papers away. You know, it must have been there all the time.
Oh, funny.
Yeah, I'll see you later.
Yeah, maybe we can have lunch.
Yes, this afternoon.
Well, a neat desk indicates an orderly mind.
I've heard that.
You know, that's interesting because I knew what I wanted to do when I came in, and... Hey, what's this?
Oh, I guess they're Angela's.
What's she doing leaving keys on my desk?
I don't know. I think the chain was open or it broke or something.
Oh, Angela feels she has to do her bit for Neat Desk Week and leaves her keys scattered.
I'll give them to her, Jason.
Yeah, well, that's okay, Marsh. I'll probably see her at lunch. By the way, what do you hear from Betsy?
Well, we had a long talk last night. She's going to stay on in Burtonsville for a day or two. I think she needs the time with her Aunt Cora.
Yeah, well, Susie told us what happened at the high school during rehearsal.
Yes, I got home right after Ginger had told the drama coach that Betsy wasn't going to be in the play.
Morris, how could Ginger do that?
You know, at one time I would have wondered about the answer to that. Now I don't care.
About this new approach to treatment of terminally ill patients?
Well, it depends on what the illness is.
No. I mean all dying patients. This death therapy.
Oh, the hospice idea.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, it's specialized care for, as you said, the terminally ill patient and his family. There isn't any facility like it here in Chicago. It started in England. I think they're opening one in New Haven.
Well, anyway, Emily is interested in it.
She is?
Mm-hmm.
Well, with any luck, Jace, Emily's got quite a while before she'd need that.
Yeah, that's what I said. Oh, hello, Ann.
Jason, I can tell you've forgotten we're going to have lunch today.
Uh-oh. The nurses straightened up in here this morning and moved my calendar. And, now where is it?
Hello, Ann.
Hello, Marsh. Did you ever hear a worse excuse for breaking a date?
You go ahead, Jace. I'll take Angela to lunch. I'll see you later. Bye-bye, Ann.
Thanks, Marsh.
Bye, Marsh.
Honest, Annie, my calendar was right here, and now it's here, in the drawer. Now, what's it doing there? Hmm?
Jason, that's the first time you've treated me like a stepsister.
What do you mean? What about the time I pushed you in the pool, huh?
It doesn't count, Jason. Pool pushing was in for a time, don't you remember?
Oh, yes. Camelot days. Now, tell me, what do you hear from Lynn and Kurt?
Well, they'll be back soon.
Oh?
Yes. Mother's going to call Kurt tomorrow and see if he's interested in organizing the children's clinic for her.
Annie, what's the schedule on the clinic, do you know? I've got to get another pediatrician to replace Joe Gonzalez when he becomes the clinic's medical director.
Oh, I don't know, Jason. Something like 6 months, I think.
How are you and Joe doing?
Oh, I wish I knew. But whatever it is, it's very, very slow.
And Jason's got my keys now?
Yes, he was going to give them to you at lunch.
Didn't you wonder what they were doing on his desk?
Only slightly. There's no need to worry, Angela.
You know, I wonder what he'd think if...
He might give us his blessing.
Oh, no.
Well, I wasn't suggesting we tell him. I only meant he probably wouldn't go into shock if he found out.
Yeah, maybe not. But it's Emily I'm worried about.
Well, your sister hasn't been exactly living under a bell jar.
If Emily weren't ill, it would be different.
Darling, let's be a little more positive.
What do you suggest?
Where do you want to live when we get married?
Oh, Marsh. But that's so far down the road.
Doesn't have to be.
I wish I didn't always have to be the one to say, hey, wait a minute.
Well, I don't see anybody asking you to do it.
But, Marsh, we just can't act like careless teenagers.
I'm not being careless. Are you?
Oh, of course not. But, I mean, our families. Look at Betsy.
Well, we couldn't do anything.
If you'd been home the night that she ran away...
Angela, I cannot keep Ginger from being destructive. A much better arrangement for all concerned would be for us to be divorced and then Betsy would have another home to go to.
Marsh, you make it sound so simple.
Because I believe in us, Angela.
Features William Redfield as Marsh, Patricia Wheel as Angela, Larry Haynes as Jason, Joyce Gordon as Emily, Sherita Bauer as Ginger, Vicki Vola as Carolyn, Ian Martin as Robert, and Rosemary Rice as Lynn. Also appearing were Robert Phelps, Karen Green, Fran Allison, Gonzalo Moderga, and Diane Raymond. Produced by Alan Potter, directed by Dick Cox, written by Mary Dornheim, associate producer Dale Stewart, music supervisor John Anthony, sound effects Bob Prescott, audio engineer Jerry Borenstein, production assistant Nancy Schaefer, and brought to you by Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be. This is Ken Roberts. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.